Morning. Greetings in Christ's name. I say very much this morning, praise God for light. If you may well have heard me talk about this at times, and if you haven't, you can ask my family and they'll verify that I do talk about it. But I almost always say on December 21, wow, finally we're headed the other way. And very generally, the longest day of the year, I groan and say, oh, now we're headed for the shortest day of the year again. I like light. Anyway, praise the Lord for light, both physically and spiritually. And today, as we look into God's Word, I trust that the light of it can shine into our hearts. So this morning, like to continue on again with the Christian Home series. It's been a little bit since I shared on this. The last couple of messages, we looked at courtship. Our focus was a lot to the youth. Earlier, we had looked at the roles of both the husband and the wife, a lot of responsibility that God has called us to, a serious responsibility. And maybe by now you're thinking, well, so far it sounds like a lot of work. Is it worth it? Can I really be and do what God wants of me? Possibly you may think how some of Jesus' disciples thought in Matthew 19, verse 10, where it says, "The disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry." Well, hopefully that's not our thoughts here. But we could think that, you know, it seems that, yeah, as I already said, there's just a lot of responsibility. It seems that husbands and wives have so many adjustments, and we look out in the world today and there's so many problems, and we all have obligations, we have appointments, and it brings about just a, you know, the family unit, it just brings about just so much. Yeah, so much work and responsibility. Well, as I pondered that, I felt led this morning, maybe a little bit of a different kind of a message, I don't know, but I felt led to think about some positive aspects of marriage. And I'll try not to eat this mic. I'd like to think about some positive aspects of marriage, and I'd just say that, you know what, there are a lot of them. There are a lot of positive aspects of marriage, but as with any other area in life, blessings in life always come with responsibility. With every privilege, there is an obligation. Nothing in life is completely free. So let's not be afraid of marriage's demands, because marriage also brings with it a lot of blessings. So the title for the message this morning is The Blessings of Marriage. The Blessings of Marriage. In a Christian marriage, There certainly are blessings that God bestows upon the couple as they commit to each other and to God. And that's where this thing of blessings really, that's where blessings come in at, is if there's a commitment to each other and to God. If there's not that commitment, first of all, to God, there won't be a commitment to each other, at least not that is going to last very long. And there certainly won't be long-term blessings. So a very important key thing here is that commitment to God and to each other in order to experience the blessings we want to look at this morning. First of all, just a few general things, and then I'm going to get a little bit more specific. But a few general things, first of all. A blessing in marriage, there is a unity and oneness, and that is a blessing as we experience that. A deepening sense of unity and oneness with each other. And we could turn, actually, let's just do that. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. But there's a deepening sense of unity and oneness with each other as they become one flesh, as it talks about here in Matthew 5. I'll look at one verse here and then refer to some other verses. But familiar verses here where it talks about how husbands and wives relate to each other, and yeah, duties of wives, duties of husbands, and its connection with the church and all that. We won't go a lot into those things, but verse 31 says, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And so there's a deepening sense of unity and oneness with each other as a husband and wife become one flesh, and that is a blessing. Another blessing is there is love and affection, a growing love and affection for each other as they learn to serve one another, as they learn to love one another. There is that growing love and affection. And Ephesians 5 here, again, we could look at kind of this whole portion, especially verses 25 to maybe 31, the verse that we read, maybe 33, actually. It talks about this love and affection for each other as they learn to do that and serve one another. And that is a blessing. Companionship and friendship, that is a blessing. A strong and abiding companionship and friendship as they walk together in the things that life brings along, the disappointments, the challenges, the joys. There's companionship and friendship through those times is amazing. It does wonders to the couple's heart. Spiritual growth, a very important one. A deepening of their individual and shared faith as they seek to follow God and serve Him together. That certainly is a blessing. Spiritual growth, very important. Wisdom and guidance, God's wisdom and guidance as they navigate life's decisions. And I talked about or mentioned challenges, the challenges that we face. But wisdom and guidance as we face those things, as we navigate those things together. Forgiveness and mercy, a deepening understanding of God's forgiveness and mercy and the ability to extend it to each other. That is also a blessing, to be able to experience that forgiveness and mercy from God and from each other. Okay, so those are some general things. Now I'd like to look at some specific blessings and elaborate on them maybe just a bit. I have five here, and I'm sure that there are others that we could put in there, but there are five that I put together here. Some specific blessings that God has for spouses. And you think about these things. Blessing number one is purpose. Purpose. Those who marry, who step into this union of marriage, they now have new purposes in life. And that is real. Maybe you young people, you know, you don't necessarily understand that yet. You probably don't. But those of us that are married, I'm sure we grasp some of that. But life takes on new meaning. It really is a change. A change for those two individuals. As two godly individuals, a Christian young man and a Christian young woman come together. They experience great blessings by giving themselves to the pursuit of these purposes, these new purposes in life. And you know, really, life without purpose is really kind of bland. If we don't have purpose in life, it's bland. Well, what are some of those purposes? Well, one of the new purposes that husband and wife have is to please each other. And you probably, you think about those things. You're concerned about that. Those of you that are married, when you got married, and probably even before you got to that point, but when you were courting, that purpose became real. You had a desire to please each other, and when you're married, hopefully that continues on. But that is very scriptural. It is very scriptural. It is God's plan that is the case. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's see what Scripture has to say about that, that it is indeed God's plan for it to be that way. Verses 33 to 34. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Brethren, before you got married, you considered it a tremendous privilege to make your girlfriend happy. I'm sure that was pretty important to you, and you counted it a privilege to do that. I certainly did. It was a privilege I felt it was a privilege. Why? Because I loved her. Now that we are married, you know what? I have a whole lot more opportunities to please her. A whole lot more. Make it a priority to please your spouse. That is what God would desire. And what a blessing. Another purpose. Talking about purposes here. Another new purpose for spouses is to love. It is not that you do not love anyone else now, but there should never be any other human love that compares to the love that you have for your spouse. None. Now you give your love to one person in particular. You do not need to seek that special love anywhere else. You can give yourself wholly to this love. What an opportunity. What a blessing. Another purpose. If you are a man, you have the new purpose of providing for your wife and children. And that is a blessing, and I hope you men look at it that way. You have a new purpose of providing for your wife and children. Giving them what they need is a great privilege, and I hope that we're looking at it that way. It's a great privilege, and you know what? As we do that, there's satisfaction there. There's tremendous satisfaction in it. It's a blessing. So many men do not have the wherewithal to provide for their families. Knowing that your family depends on you and that you will do everything possible not to fail them can and will bring a great blessing. If you're a woman, you have the purpose of being a homemaker for your husband. Put your all into it. Put your heart into it. I believe it was in the message of the role of a wife that we talked about being keepers at home. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing you can have as you know, as you experience that. Put your heart into it and give your husband and children an orderly home, clean clothes, good food, and that's going to bring satisfaction, and it brings God's blessing upon you. It is something that you can experience. You joyfully try to make Proverbs 31, the verses there in Proverbs 31, your experience. I'm going to read those verses. I think we have the time to do that. Proverbs 31. Verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. May you joyfully make that your experience. And notice I said joyfully. It's as we do that, as you do that joyfully, that there is blessing. Okay, so one of the blessings is you have new purpose. And we looked at some of those purposes. Blessing number two. Referred to this a little bit already in some of these areas, and that is satisfaction. Being married to the woman that I most love is a great blessing. I'm not alone anymore. For me, the verse there in Genesis 2, verse 18, has been fulfilled, where it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." That's been fulfilled. Now I have my helpmeet, and I'm completely satisfied with her. And according to what she says, she thinks the same about me. There's satisfaction. God has given us to each other so that we have someone with whom we can share our thoughts and feelings, and that brings a blessing. That brings satisfaction. I can hardly imagine what life would be without that. Every couple needs to find and must find companionship, friendship, trust, and understanding with each other. My wife and I complete each other. We also complement each other. I believe that is often the way it works. It should be that way. I believe that's the way most marriages are. With the help of the other, little by little, the weaknesses of each one can turn into strong points. And I believe that is a way that God uses our spouses to further his work in us. As that happens, it makes God, as well as the couple, satisfied with that marriage. And again, we recognize that there are many marriages where that is not the case. And sad to say, even right in our plain circles, there is that takes place. But again, it can take place, and it will take place as there is complete giving our lives to God, allowing Him to work in our lives. These things can take place. They will come about. God wants the wife to be, as it says in the first part of Proverbs 12, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. He also wants the husband to help the wife grow personally. Ephesians 5, again, verses that we referred to. Maybe I'll just read some of those verses. You don't need to turn to them. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It is God's plan that we get along well with our spouse, so that it is possible to find the help and unity that we need, we so much need. So, satisfaction. Blessing number three, blessing of a marriage, and that is children. Children. Today, many consider children to be a bother and even a curse. Many couples do not want the hassle, the responsibility of children. And that's sad. That's very sad. They try anything to avoid it happening. Many are resorting to abortion. That is becoming the accepted thing. This attitude towards children this morning is playing down an abomination to God. That attitude, it runs so contrary to God, to his thoughts and will. If God would agree with popular opinion today, he would not have said what he did in Genesis 1:28, where he says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Children are very important to God. And Jesus became quite indignant when the disciples reproved those who brought children to him. In Mark 10, I'm just kind of referring to a lot of scripture here this morning, but in Mark 10, verse 14, he says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." May we take that seriously. God never takes children lightly. Let's turn to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Notice the certainty of what it says. 128 verses 3 and 4. "The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Instead of a curse, children are a blessing from the hand of God himself. Psalm 127. Just back a chapter. Psalm 127. Children are identified as a heritage of the Lord. Verses 3 through 5. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Besides the blessings of procreation, God gives us the privilege of contributing to the development of every aspect of our children's being, body, soul, and spirit. What a tremendous responsibility and blessing. We have the responsibility of teaching them, and what a challenge that we as Christian parents have of leaving a legacy. In our children, we also experience the blessing of far-reaching influence, very far. We may not think about it. To me, that's kind of a scary thought. What I teach my children will probably be what they teach, in a measure anyway, to their children and pass right on down through the generations. My strengths and weaknesses, your strengths and weaknesses, are passed on. That's so much how it happens. They're passed on right down through generations, and that's That's a sobering thought as we think about that. My habits and preferences can easily become the habits and preferences for the next generation and right on down through. Scripture refers to that many times. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verses 3 through 7, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. So often it is, well, that is the way it works. It is passed down from generation to generation. A very sobering thought. I would also like to say here that the blessing of children is not given to every couple. We recognize that. We understand that. And this certainly does not mean that their marriage cannot be happy and fulfilling. It does not mean that. Even though God decides not to give them children, their marriage is as complete in his eyes as if they did have children. Okay, blessing number four. Another blessing of marriage, and that is service. The blessing of service. God has given all of us different opportunities to serve him, and he certainly has given that opportunity, that blessing, to the family unit, that marriage. We can serve God, serve the family, serve the community, and the list can go on. It's a tremendous opportunity. It's a tremendous blessing that you have as individuals, husband, wife, children. It's a blessing that you have as a family unit to be able to serve. Married couples have the blessing of serving together. In the New Testament, we have the example of Aquila and Priscilla. The Bible does not tell us much about them, but what it does tell us is remarkable. In Acts 18, it says, "And he began to preach boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Aquila and Priscilla they served Paul, and they were doing a wonderful thing. Romans 16:3 talks about them as well. "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Another thing that can be of great service is just some practical things here. The husband and wife, the family, can go visiting together. Again, it's a thing of service in the community. This is an area that I believe is a tremendous testimony today, when the husband and wife, as a family unit, visits neighbors, older individuals, whoever. There's tremendous blessing in that. And I wonder, maybe I'm just looking at my weakness in this area, but I feel like I've missed that at times. I have not done that as much as what I should, of as a family going and visiting and helping those who are in need in the community. It's a blessing if we can do that. By working together for the good of others, the family, the couple, the family as a family unit enjoys the blessing of the satisfaction, knowing that God is pleased with it as that takes place. And what a blessing when we see the fruit of our efforts. We see what it does to individuals, bringing them to the Lord. satisfied couples, contented families, and individuals who want to serve the Lord are, it certainly is a blessing. Blessing number five. Another blessing of marriage is protection. We see the wise provision of our loving God and the blessing of moral protection in marriage. Having created us with instincts, having created us with sexual instincts and desires, he did not leave us to burn in lasciviousness and lust. Scripture talks about that. God has given us a healthy, legitimate environment for the expression of these desires, and that is marriage. Through marriage, God wants to protect us from the attacks and consequences of immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." And again, I want to be careful here. You know, by this, I'm not saying that single people cannot live pure lives. They can. God gives to Christian single people the power to overcome any temptation. He certainly does that. But I do believe that to the married, God gives an added protection, if you could say it that way. If you are married, enjoy that protection. Another protection that God gives to husband and wife. God gives men the ability to make intellectually based decisions more than emotionally based ones. And men and women often use different processes to arrive at decisions. Men tend to lean upon reasoning, while women tend to give more weight to intuition. Well, God has designed us to bring balance to our spouses in this way. God wants to use this to protect us from unwise decisions. And what a blessing that is. In marriage, God blesses us in that way. Certainly a blessing. In marriage, God blesses the couple with another kind of protection. God helps the couple protect each other from depression, grief, sadness, and bitterness. You know, these things, in my mind anyway, are so much easier to work through with the support and encouragement that we receive from our spouse. To me, that in my marriage, I feel like that is a tremendous blessing. I think about that numerous times, and I'm sure I don't thank my wife enough for that encouragement. But that is a blessing that I receive, helping each other, protect each other from depression, grief, sadness, bitterness, you name it. But that is, a wonderful blessing that we have, where we can work through those things with the encouragement of our spouse. The couple who follows God's plan for marriage are the most intimate of friends. They face life together. They resolve their problems together. They can face life together, resolving their problems and supporting each other. And what a blessing. My heart goes out to couples who are not experiencing the blessings of marriage that we just talked about. These blessings are not guaranteed, but they are available to couples who seek, to individuals, couples, whatever, who seek to follow God and build their marriage on His principles. And today, there are many marriages that are not a blessing. There are more, with some, there are more troubles and trials than there are blessings. And why is that? Well, I believe the answer is clear. Christ is not foremost in their marriage. Rather, it is self. When Christ is not number one, many of the blessings that Christ intended for the marriage simply are not there. And that's why at the beginning I pointed that important point out of being committed to God. A marriage that is being committed to God is the only way that we can experience these blessings. real briefly here now, I'd like to think about the points that we just covered. If Christ is not in the marriage, I want to take these points, just again, just real briefly, and look at them in light of if Christ is not in the marriage. The first blessing we looked at of purpose. If Christ is not in the marriage, it gets all distorted. It's distorted with what? Well, self. Self stands in the way. In an ungodly marriage, the focus is all on self, self-gratification. What's in this for me? How am I going to benefit? Why are there so many divorces today? It's because God is not in it, and the only focus is on self. Some time ago, I was talking to a couple, and they were referring to another couple that they knew who was going through a divorce. And their comment was that the lady was really a jerk. She was a real jerk. She wouldn't let her husband do hardly anything that he wanted to do. He couldn't go golfing. She named that. I'm not sure what all it was. He couldn't go golfing, and he just couldn't have a good time. So now he is finally getting a divorce, and now he is free and able to do finally what he wants to do. He's finally free to enjoy all of those things, is how they said it. Well, I pondered that. Sounds to me like self was very much in focus here. It was all about self. That's what was in the forefront. Well, when Christ is not in the marriage, that's what it is. It's all about self. When Christ is not in the marriage, the second blessing we looked at of satisfaction is rarely felt for a long period of time. Maybe for a little bit, but it's rarely felt for a long period of time. It's not lasting. Finding satisfaction in being a helpmeet is out of the picture for sure. If Christ isn't there, if Christ is not in there or in that marriage, finding satisfaction in companionship, friendship, trust, and understanding each other certainly is not lasting at best. When Christ is not in the marriage, the third blessing we looked at of children generally becomes a liability. To many people, children simply get in the way of self, stand in the way of my desires, what I want to do. It keeps them from doing the pleasurable things that maybe they dream of doing. Why are there so many daycare centers today? Seem to be an awful lot of them. I believe it simply comes back to the selfish desires that couples are trying to feed and satisfy. I believe that's what it is. When Christ is not in the marriage, the blessing of service that we talked about is often not even desired. What enjoyment is there in serving others? Again, self gets in the way. There is little interest in sacrificing self for the good of others. And then the last blessing we looked at of protection. Without Christ in our lives and in our marriage, I believe that the blessing of protection that God would like to give us is not available. It is not available. Moral protection is basically gone. The protection of making balanced decisions that we talked about is turned into a fight of doing it my way or else. Well, this morning, which would we rather have? To me, the answer seems quite clear. We may know what we want, yet it takes a commitment. And that's the challenge that I want to leave with us. It takes a genuine commitment. It takes a crucifying of self in order for these blessings to be upon us. It takes the presence of the Lord in my life personally. Each one of us personally has a responsibility to make the Lord of my life, to crucify self. It takes his presence. May that be where we find ourselves. And God bless our marriages here this morning.